The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you. That was very, very good. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, where the Bible says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God, says your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I'd like to speak this morning on seven disciplines to the victorious life. Seven disciplines to the victorious life. You know, many years ago, there was Roger Staubach, and of course, he was there with the Dallas Cowboys. It was in the Super Bowl victory of 1971. He was placed there in the position as quarterback, and of course, he was receiving signals to be able to follow from his coach. And by the way, Coach Landry was known as probably a genius when it came to being able to coach this particular team. And Roger, all of a sudden, though, had an opportunity to be able, he knew it, by the way, he had an opportunity to be able to still win the game with Mamie calling his own plays. And so he thought for a moment and thought, well, you know, I don't need to listen to him. I know he's a genius. I know that the plays that he calls is good plays, and I ought to follow the coach. But, you know, maybe I can just be able to become the hero myself. And he began to think upon that for some time. Then Staubach decided that he was going to take and, instead of doing that, be obedient. And he said, "Once I learned to obey, there was harmony and fulfillment and victory that filled my soul long before the victory on the field." He said, "But I had to get the victory in here before I saw the victory out here." Now, may I say, in talking about these disciplines, if you will, that we ought to have in our life in order to be able to observe the victorious Christian life, I want to give you seven. Now, I'm not going to preach to you all morning long, but I'm going to give you seven. I think if you'd write them down somewhere, maybe in the flyleaf of your Bible, visit them often, and practice them, you would find out that you would be able to receive more victory in your life, in your personal Christian growth, than you would to be able to see loses. Let me give you a couple, and I want you to think about them. Statement number one, keep your heart. Keep your heart. Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, "Keep thine heart," it says, "with all diligence, for out of it," and I was talking about the heart, "for out of it," talking about the heart, it says, "are the issues of life." Okay, so we understand the word issues is the word same as you would have for decision. And so God says that we need to guard the heart, because out of it, flowing out of the heart, comes all the decisions of life. Now, when it says to keep, it says, "thy heart with all diligence." That simply means to keep it. It means to walk round about it. It means to guard it, if you will. It's being able to guard it from sin. Now, what do you mean by sin? Well, watch this. Over in Mark chapter 7 and verse 21, the Bible says this. The Bible says, "From," it says, "within," it says, "out of the heart of man proceedeth evil thinkings." Now listen to it. It says, "From within, out of the heart of man." All right, now wait a minute. Before something can come out of the heart of man, it has to first enter in to the heart of man. So the Bible says here, the Bible says that for it says, "From within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thieves," it says, "covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness," it says, "an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." And the Bible goes on in verse 23 of Mark 7, where it says, "And all these evil things come from within and defile the man." Now, watch this. In order for it to be able to come out, let me say it again, first it has to enter in. Now, my responsibility is to make sure that it does not enter in. I've got five of these guys, come right up here if you will, okay? All five of you. All right, so my responsibility is to put things around me fellas, to put things around me that will protect me, my around me, I'm here in the middle, all right? So my responsibility, face me, my responsibility is to get things all the way around me here. I've got some all the way around me. My responsibility is to put things around me that will protect me from allowing things to come into me that later on will enter in my heart and later on after that will come out. So my responsibility, all of a sudden there's somebody coming up and they're trying to get me to curse, okay, turn around and face the outside. So here comes somebody coming up, and don't say a curse word now, please. And but here's somebody coming up, they're trying to get me to curse, all right? They're saying words, and they're saying in my presence all the time, these words. Now what I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to put up guards around my heart so that that does not even enter in my heart. Now I may do that through a godly parent. I may do that through a godly friend. I may do that through a godly counselor. I may do that through a youth director, or maybe a pastor, or maybe a principal, or maybe a godly uncle, or maybe a godly, I'm not saying this, but a godly aunt. And so I have all these people, maybe a godly deacon, or maybe a godly boss, or maybe, you know, a godly brother, or maybe a godly sister, okay? I've got all these things around me, okay? Now, I put these people in my life because I realize that I need some guards in my life. Amen. I realize I cannot make it by my own. The Bible talks about in Ecclesiastes that woe unto him that walketh alone, for when he falleth, he hath not another to pick him up or to lift him up, all right? So what I'm going to do is, I'm not going to put ungodliness in my life. I'm not going to switch out this one for this one. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bring somebody in my life that's full of cursings that's going to cause me to start to walk down that trail that way. Okay, go back there. Come back in if you will. All right, so here's cursing. Okay, here's somebody that, he's drinking all the time. I mean, just all the time drinking. And remember what you're doing, okay? And here's somebody over here, and he's a thief. I mean, he's just a thief. He's always stealing this and stealing that. And so don't you worry, Wislowski, I'm coming to you too. And all right, and so he's a thief, okay? This guy over here, let's give him some. He's a murderer. He's a murderer. That's what he is, all right? And this guy over here, I don't know what he is, he is the devil himself. That's what he is. All right, now wait a minute, watch this, okay? And it serves you right. And all right, now watch. Here's what we got. Now, and so here's what I do. I try to surround myself. I want to surround myself with godliness. Don't forget that. I'm going to try and guard my help, my heart with godliness. I'm going to try and keep godliness as close to me as I possibly can, okay? And that way, when somebody comes, and who are you? All right, so he tries to come and get me to curse. I've got somebody protecting me right there. He's protecting me. You've always wanted to do that. All right, thank you. All right, then here we go. And what are you? And okay, he's trying to come in and he's trying to get me to drink. And so I've got protect. What are you? Go away now. And a thief. All right, he's trying to come. All right, now wait. And who are you? Who are you?
Murder.
You better. Okay. And he's trying to come. All right, now wait a minute. And who are you? Oh, and so, and all right, now wait a minute. And so here's what I do. I try to get people in my life that has godly characteristics. I try to get people in my life that will help me to be able to live for Christ. I mean, after all, I don't want to fall. Who in this room wants to fall? Who in this room wants to go through that which is the penalty of sin? Who in this room wants to go ahead and reap that which is an abomination, or reap that which is horribleness, or reap that which is wickedness, or reap that which is a brain that is now fried because of drugs? Or who wants to go through stuff like that? All right, so what do? I put people in my life that will help me to be able to protect my heart so that that's why church is good. I said that's why church is good. See, that's why coming to Bible preaching is good. That's why going to a Sunday school class is good. That's why having the right type of people to fellowship with is good. Okay? All right, thank you. Be seated if you will. So statement number one, keep your heart. How do you do that? You put guards around your heart so that things on the outside does not come in. Now you say, but preacher, you don't understand. I don't like my parents telling me what to do all the time. Well, you'll get over it. You will grow out of that eventually. By the way, there will be a day when you become a parent and you will want your children to obey you. Now, let me give you a verse. As a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So unless you want to have a bunch of rebellious kids coming up in your house, then if I were you, I'd stop rebelling.
Amen.
Because you're going to reap exactly what you're sowing. I don't know how many times my daddy would look at one of us boys. I'll not say which one. But I don't know how many times my daddy would look at one of us boys and he would say, well, it figures because that's what I did when I was a kid. What was he saying? He's saying you're going to reap whatever you sow. All right? Now, I'm saying this. So keep your heart. Principle number one. Statement number two, if you will. Watch for your soul. Watch for your soul. Soul, the mind, the will, and the motion. Watch for your soul. Now, the Bible says that God's given you some watchmen. That's why, man, oh, I wish you could get this. I wish that you would not get mad at the preacher when the preacher preaches something that you disagree with. Because the preacher sees the end of the result. Because he's counseling people that are somewhere where you're traveling. And he sees the end of that decision. And he's been counseling people for 30 to 35 years. And he sees the trail of people that's going this way. And so he's over here. And you're coming in. And you're walking down this path like this. And preacher is saying, you know, that's probably not a good path to walk down. And let me tell you, the end result of that, probably it's going to happen in your life since it happened to 99% of the people that walk down that path. All right? And so Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, the Bible says, obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. So the pastor is supposed to be somebody that watches for your souls. Now, what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to watch for the protection of your will, your mind, your emotions. It's not just preacher's supposed to get up and he's supposed to preach a message that all of a sudden hits home and to make you live right. That's not it. See, don't forget what is in here does come out. So my responsibility is to kind of, if you will, please sound the trumpet of things so that you know that these things should not be let in, because once they're let in, look, a little bit of poison will kill you. So my responsibility, and by the way, is the responsibility of every God-called man of God to do that. That is the responsibility of every God-called man of God. Now, that's not saying they do it. I've seen churches change over the years. I have. I've seen churches where, man, I tell you what, you'd have to pay the Holy Ghost to show up in order to give you conviction, because through that man of God, you're not getting any. It's all about the love of God. It's all about, if you would please, listen to me now. It's all about the love of God, or it's all about teaching principles of leadership. Hey, but somebody has to rear back, and somebody says, this is what the Bible says, and this is what God says, and it might rub you the wrong way, but it would be better to rub you the wrong way, and you have a family that turns out for God, than to have your kids to go down the sewer hole and not turn out for God. Somebody has to do that. You say, preacher, you feel like you're called to do it. Yes. I do. I'm tired of seeing kids be wasted. I'm tired of seeing kids growing up into being rebels. And then you blame your mom and daddy because you're growing up to be a stinking rebel. And can I tell you something? Listen, it's not mama's fault and it's not daddy's fault. It is your fault. If you got a mama and you got a daddy that loves you and cares about you and wants you to turn out right, thank God for daddy. Thank God for mama. Thank God for somebody that cares. I mean, they're bringing you to church. What better parent could you get than that?
Amen.
They're telling you to go soul winning. Isn't that good?
Amen.
They're not telling you to skip church, and they're not telling you to go to the bar. Man, thank God for somebody that watches for your soul. Now, the Bible says here, it says, obey them. Yes, that could imply to parents. It certainly could. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account, the Bible says, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. For you. Now, I don't know about you, but if my daddy was going to give me a bad report on me, it was always unprofitable for me. My daddy gave me a chore to do and I did not do it. It was unprofitable for me. When God gives us a mandate in the Bible and God gives us scripture to be able to say, this is what I want you to do, and we choose not to do that, it's not unprofitable for God. It's unprofitable for me. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 11, the Bible says, dearly beloved, it says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. It says, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. So there is that which is a fleshly lust that will war against the soul, that tries, if you will, please, to take down the soul. Well, how does it do that? 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 8, the Bible says, it says, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, it says, vexed is his, listen to it now, vexed his righteous soul from day to day within their unlawful deeds. So how does a man all of a sudden fall? How does a man get weaker? Well, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that his soul was vexed. Vexed his righteous soul. Now, what does that mean? The word vexed simply means to wear down. A child comes in and a child says, can I have this? And you say, no. And the child says, can I have this? And you said, well, now, wait a minute. I thought I said no. And the child comes back again and says, but you don't understand. I need this. Can I have this? And daddy says, well, I said no. Later, the child comes back. Daddy, have you thought about it? You're my favorite daddy. I love you. You're the greatest daddy a man could ever have. Oh, daddy, could I have this? Well, I said no. Child keeps coming back. Daddy, would you please let me do this? And finally, it gets to a point of annoyance where the dad says, well, all right, just this one time. Now, what has that child done? That child has wore you down. You see, the Bible talks here about there is things on the outside that will wear you down. Can I tell you, the things that are wearing you down and causing you to become tired so that you cannot put Jesus Christ first, the problem is not that you're not putting Jesus Christ first. The problem is that you're spending so much energy out here that you have no more energy for Jesus Christ. And it wears you down. Now, why don't we burst and also help your children as a parent care for their soul and you as children so that they can rise up and make those wise decisions. Your heart. Statement number 2, watch for your soul. Statement number 3, rule your spirit. Now, But you should not let somebody that has a wrong spirit hurt your spirit. You rule your spirit. Oh, just because you walk in gloomy and sad and negative and doesn't mean you have to be that way. You can smile, very much alive. You know, you don't have activity if you're in a family and you have a husband that's negative. Don't let him pull you. If you're in a family, you got a wife and pull you. If you've got a neighbor that's negative, then don't let him pull you. Look, you have to decide somewhere in meet with God and let God be the one that helps you to rule your spirit. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28, the Bible says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down. By the way, he that doesn't have rule over his own soul or over his own spirit is broken. That is a broken person. Now the Bible says, he that have no rule over his own and without walls. In other words, they're bound to do anything because they're in their life. If they feel like it, they will do it. If they're emotionally led, they will follow. Right. Now, that's why there's divorces. I understand that they're supposed to control their spirit, but they're letting their spirit. You see, there was a day when you were happy and now you're sad, but today you're the one that chooses to be sad. What is that called, preacher? That's called ruining your spirit. as we continue, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32, the Bible says, he that is slow to anger is better than vehement, than he that taketh a city. So there's, well, you know what? I had a girlfriend and she broke up with me, the boy says. Okay, but should that ruin your life? Well, I had a good job and I got fired. But his life, they went up on my apartment or they went up on my mortgage payment this month. And for the rest of the year, I hear it's going to be that way. And, oh, it's so terrible. But is it worth being in the dumps all year about that? Well, I had a friend and they talked bad about me. Well, is that really the truth? And if that's really the truth, is it really that bad? I'm saying this. I'm saying rule your spirit. Now, I'm a little old, please. Look, I'm not saying you got to come to church with a 10-pound Bible. You know, and then when you're walking in, you know, you get that jolly walk. You know, it's like.
Well.
You just look like you're out of control then. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that you got to put on something fake. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying your spirit.
Right.
There needs to be something about your spirit. There needs to be a way that you learn to rule your own spirit. Where that when you come to church and when you're around mom and daddy and when you're representing Christ and you're trying to help people, that you don't lose that which is the rule. You don't get angry. Punch holes in the wall. I never figured out why people do that. Well, I got mad. How'd that hole get in that wall? Oh, I got mad. I just had to hit something. All right, now you hit the wall. Number one, you broke your knuckles or one of your fingers or it's really badly bruised. And you go out and you hit a tree. I'm so mad. And you hit the tree. You really think that tree's going to say, ouch? I mean, you really think that accomplished a whole lot? Well, you know, I'm so mad. I'm just going to go out and slash my own tires. You know, but now there's people who say, well, I tell you what, I'm just so disappointed, mad, and upset, I'm going to go get drunk. Well, I'm going to take this over-the-counter medication because, after all, it will help me with my anxiety. What about God? What about going to God? What about checking God out and letting God work in your life. I'm saying this morning. I'm saying learn to rule your spirit. Well, you know, I liked the girl and I found out she doesn't like me. Well, I liked the boy and I found out he doesn't like me. Well, I got married and I found out my wife doesn't like me. Too late. It's too late. It's too late. Rule your spirit. Number one, keep your heart. Number two, watch your soul. Number three, rule your spirit. Captivate your mind. Captivate your mind. Captivate your mind. Now we're not just talking about ruling your spirit. We're talking about your mind now. It was a World War II military governor one time came to General George Patton, and he said, I'm greatly encouraged by you as an individual and by your bravery. The general replied, sir, he said, I'm not a brave man. Matter of fact, I'm a coward. He said, I never hear the sound of gunshot or am in the sight of battle, whereby I do not see my whole life pass before my eyes and the palms of my hands begin to break out in a dreadful sweat. Years later, when Patton's autobiography came out and was published, contained a very significant statement, as the general said this, as he said what he said just a moment ago, and he rehearsed that, came out in his book, and right after that he said this, but I have learned very early in life to never take counsel from my fears.
Amen.
So he said, I've never been near a battle where the gunshots doesn't bother me, where it doesn't make me so nervous that the palms of my hands, they just begin to sweat, where I see my whole life pass before my eyes. But he said in that autobiography, he said, but I've learned not to take the counsel from my fears. Now, by the way, you're going to have fears in your life. That's human. And if you're human, you can't escape them. You're going to have challenges in your life. That's human. and you're not going to be able to escape them. But what do? You realize this, you need to captivate your mind. Statement number one, I said keep your heart. We're talking about putting some principles in our lives that will help us to be able to get that victorious life. Keep your heart. Watch, if you will, for your soul. Statement number three, I said, rule your spirit. Statement number four, captivate your mind. Statement number five, bring your body into subjection. Bring your body into subjection. All of a sudden you go home and say, man, I want to lose weight. Man, I just want to lose weight. Woo! I want to lose weight. And you sit down in that lazy recliner rocking chair. And all of a sudden you smell the ice cream. By the way, you can't smell ice cream. But you smell the ice cream, and the ice cream now calls out your name and says, come to me, Papa. You know, and all of a sudden you feel yourself getting out of the chair and drifting ever so into the kitchen area, opening up that which is the freezer side of the refrigerator door. And there it is, and it stares at you, and you get it out, and you get that ice cream scooper that's supposed to scoop, and it's supposed to make it melt as it touches it because the heat runs down, and it doesn't work. And so you're pulling the ice cream out, and you're putting it into the, and then you sit there and you eat it, and then you find out later, that did not help me gain weight. I mean, that did not help me lose weight. I tried, right? Didn't I try? I mean, I tried. All right, now I'm saying this. Bring your body into subjection. You know, and it's hard. Yeah, it's hard to show up in time for Sunday school on the day. By the way, Jared, how many years you worked in the bus ministry? How many? No, here at this church. All seven? And you? All seven? So two of these boys sitting out here, our boys, this is the first time they've been in a Sunday morning church in 7 years. Man, pray for them. They're backslidden. But, you know, one thing that we have done is the fact that we have decided that here's what we're going to do. Bring that body into subjection. And it's hard for people working the bus ministry. All of a sudden, we run all those buses yesterday, not run today, and show up. And I saw people wandering down the hallway. Yeah. I said, what's wrong? They said, we don't know where we belong. Yeah. Now, I'm saying this. Okay, bring your body into subjection. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible says this, talking about the appetites of the body, and it uses the words here, the flesh. Yeah. See, the appetites of the body line up with the flesh. There are certain drinks that some of you like. My family, you know, my wife has done a great job in training our children to like sweet tea. They love sweet tea. Matter of fact, the sweeter you can get it, the more they love it. You put in a whole pound of sugar, you know, a little bit of tea and a little bit of water, and you stir it up, and then you serve it. And they love that. They just think that that's the great stuff. Okay? Now, can I tell you, you develop an appetite for whatever you submit yourself to. We've had people that's come to our church, honestly, and some of you are sitting here today. We have people come to our church and say, well, you know, I like the preaching, but I don't like the music. The music is too conservative. That's what they said. Now, I'm going to tell you, the conservative is right. And it's right on purpose. But here's what happens. Some people say this. They say, man, I tell you what, I like the music of the church, but man, Brother Wells, that preaching, you kind of hit the ball a little too close to home. And I said, I'm sorry I missed. I was aiming for the window. Now, wait a minute, watch this. But if you stay long enough, it grows on you. It grows on you. We have people that come to our church and they say, man, I was used to going to a church where, you know, they got up and as they sang, they kind of twisted and you know, stuff like that. And, yeah, right. Yeah. Patrick says, that's what I want. Amen. But now, wait a minute, watch this. But then they came and they heard some and they watched. And after a while, it's like, hey, I like this. I like this. This is good. By the way, it is good. Amen. Now, I say this. Here it is. I'm saying this. You know, learn to control, captivate your mind. Bring your body into subjection. You know where I'm going to be Sunday night, 6 o'clock? Right here. You know why? I've learned to bring my body into subjection. You know where I'm going to be Wednesday night, 7 o'clock? Right here. You know why? Because I've learned to bring my body into subjection. You know what I'm going to do in the morning time? I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to get into Bible sometime during that morning hour there. I've learned to bring my body into subjection. Okay? Bring your body into subjection to that which is the importance of the things that are of the Lord. Statement number one, keep your heart. Watch for your soul. Statement number three, rule your spirit. Statement number four, captivate your mind. Statement number five, bring your body into subjection. Statement number next, tame your tongue. Tame your tongue. Man, now I'm telling you how to become victorious. Stop downgrading everybody else to make yourself look good. I have told the preacher boys in our Bible college, I said, if I ever hear you criticizing the man of God, you're gone. I told a staff person one time walking down the hallway, no longer with us, but I told a staff person one time walking down the hallway, I said, if I ever hear you say that again about that man of God, you look for another job. We're not here to tear down somebody else's ministry. Boy, I thank God for everybody that's picking up a Bible this morning and preaching the Bible and helping somebody. We're not trying to pick ourselves up to say, man, look at us. We're it. No, we're not it. He's it. Now, can I say this morning as kindly as I can? Tame your tongue. Stop cutting up everybody. Realize you're not the important one. You're not building your own kingdom. Now, I'm talking about a Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about a bus captain. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm better than so-and-so. You're not better than anybody. We got saved the same way. We're walking on the same ground. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood that we're going to go to heaven. And stop thinking that you're more important than somebody else. Tame that tongue. I'm saying this morning. Listen, I'm almost done. James chapter 3 and in verse 8, the Bible says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. He said, preacher, you just said tame it. Now God says you can't tame it. You can't. Your fleshly being cannot. You have to get on your knees and say, dear God, this thing is causing me trouble. So I yield myself to you the best way I know how so that you can help me be able to control this thing. No man can tame it. No man can. By the way, this thing right here will get you in trouble with your marriage. Come on. If I was to have these men to raise their hand that's married today, and I said, please raise your hand if you ever said something that got you in the trouble, most of them would put both hands up and feet. Because this gets us in trouble. If I was to get the ladies to do that, you know, they would raise their hand. Now, they might only raise one, but they would raise their hand because this gets us in trouble. I've heard preachers sit down around a table, and all of a sudden they'll start criticizing some of the preacher, and I'll just stand up and I say, "Oh, sorry, I'm not taking part of that. Have a good day," and I'll walk off. You say, "Why? Why do you do that, preacher?" Because he thinks that he's a big guy or something. You know. Now look, God is the one that needs to be big. Say amen, please. Amen. I'm saying this, and I'm done. I'm saying tame the tongue. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and verse 21, the Bible says, a death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So death and life, you had a choice. Death and life, you know? And so it's death and life. Okay, you have the death and you have the life inside of your tongue. Why don't you use it to give life and not to bring death? Then here's the last thing. I'm saying this and I'm done. Commune with the Holy Spirit. Commune with the Holy Spirit. Commune with the Holy Spirit. Listen to your Bible. And last verse I'll read you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14 says this. The Bible says, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion with the Holy Spirit, listen to it now, be with you all. Amen. Okay, come here, Holy Spirit. Watch this. When I get saved, now you can't do this, but when I get saved, the Holy Spirit enters into me. Okay? The Bible says that he is there with me no matter where I go, no matter what I do. By the way, tonight I'll be preaching a message on seven things that you can do against the Holy Spirit. Seven things. Now, you shouldn't do them, but I'm going to show you there's seven sins against the Holy Spirit. Now, what are the seven sins against the Holy Spirit? Tonight at 6 o'clock, you come and find out. Okay, but watch this. You have a Holy Spirit. Once you get saved, that Holy Spirit enters into you. He is there for the totality of your life. Rest of your life, he's there. He's there. Okay? So here we go. He and I are walking along, and he says, give that guy a track.
Give that guy a track.
The devil?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's the one there.
All right. All right, and so I'm supposed to obey him in his inklings, his leadings, if you will, his direction, if you will. I'm trying to give you a good descriptive word. I'm supposed to obey him in everything he leads me to do. Watch. Preacher's preaching. Please don't leave me, Holy Spirit. Preacher's preaching, okay? All of a sudden, God speaks to your heart. There's a tug. You ever had that? There's that tug. Tug on your heart. There's that tug. Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. There's that tug. When that tug on your heart is, I spoke to your heart, God says, through my Holy Spirit. All right. The preacher gets up and says, hey, look, and it's true. Hey, come now. If you made a decision, get on your knees and tell God. Because when you leave, you're going to get in your car, hold conversation, go home, go to bed, forget about it, eat your Baptist lunch. You're going to forget about it. It's true. It's true. When God leads you, you move by God's leading, not by your flesh. Sometimes we as believers, we're so ignorant of the Holy Spirit because we do things based on feelings rather than by submission to the Holy Ghost. You got to be careful to differentiate the two. Well, I just had this feeling that it was right. You better make sure it's the Holy Ghost and not your feelings. I've seen many people make lame brain decisions because they go by a feeling and not by a true leading of God. All right, so God speaks to my heart. Holy Spirit pricks me and says, go down and pray. So I go down and pray. I might not be able to say the right things. All I know is, man, God, help. So I know, God, help me. Help me. I don't know it all. Help me. Holy Spirit would translate that for me. He's my tutor. He's my translator. You ever do this? Preacher preaches, man, God breaks loose all over you. And all of a sudden, man, you got such a heavy burden, you don't know what to do with it. So you come and you cry. You don't know what to say. That's okay. Holy Spirit, he's going to interpret that to the Lord. He will. All of a sudden, now I got to go to the dentist. Oh, don't leave me, Holy Spirit. I said, I got to go to the dentist. And the Holy Spirit goes, oh. Even he's afraid of the dentist. And so I got to go to the dentist. All right. So I got to go to the dentist. All right. And so I pray to God. I say, God, on the way to the dentist, God, please help me. I'm scared. That guy's going to open my mouth 3 times sizer than normal. He's going to put his hand in my mouth. Oh, God, please. He's got big hands. And he's gonna hurt me? God, I'm not for pain. You know that. I'm Mike. Remember me. So, God, would you help me still my nerves? Would you do it? God says, I'll do that. He uses that Holy Spirit to bring thoughts to my heart, to bring encouragement to me. That's what he does. So what do you do? Commune with the Holy Spirit. I think we miss a lot of blessings. Thank you. We miss a lot of blessings in our life because we do not walk with the Spirit of God. Now, I'm saying this morning. There's 7 disciplines that we can have in our life to have that victorious life that God wants us to have. Make sure you put them in your life. Father, we thank you for today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.